Okay, moment of brutal honesty. I should have had a longer sabbatical so that I could make Pastor Dan have preached these past few weeks. Because this is kind of, and I stated it like a question, the gospel of the Lord, this good news of Jesus ready to bring down fire, these are not easy scriptures. It's not something that we really identify with in our faith. And sure, we may hear of people far away who become Christian and their whole family deserts them. Or we hear stories and we know of people who are Christian and others hunt them down and throw them in jail and torture them as well. But that's really far away from what we deal with. I mean, even if somebody gives us a hard time for being a Christian, oh, you believe in God? How could you believe in something you can't see? I mean, that is not persecution, my friends. Your life is never in danger. So these kind of scriptures about division and being ripped apart as families and fighting against each other and going through torture for our faith, it doesn't feel like stuff that we deal with. And so I have a hard time trying to preach these. So I figure September 15th, I read those scriptures ahead, that's going to be a really good Sunday. That's going to be really easy to write my sermon. If you have problems, come see me the week before that one, because I'll be able to help you through them. I'm not worried about a sermon. You have to remember that these scriptures were not just written for us in the pew, us who are sitting here in chairs today. They were written for particular people who are facing their own difficulties, people who are freshly believing and hearing this message about Jesus, and so they are experiencing this division. And what was recorded of what Jesus said is supposed to help them face it in a way that has faith. So if you were a Jew and you believed in Jesus, you were saying that this man is the one and only solution God has for the problems of the world. That this man named Jesus is God's Messiah. And that means you rejected everything that you had been taught about the Messiah coming like a warrior, with a sword drawn and Roman government overthrown and everything is going to be peaceful and lovely. That this Jesus is supposed to look a lot more like a David kind of Messiah than a hippie on a hillside. And so you're going to face people who are still thinking the old way, and you're going to face division. Now, if you were a Gentile, which just means not a Jew, you had your own uphill battle that you were fighting because you saw all of the problems around you, and you saw this man, Jesus, as the one who's coming to fix it. This man, Jesus, who you believe is God, is the one that has the solution for all the ways that life is being screwed up around you. And you believe for some reason that this one man is God and is stronger than the emperor who said he would bring peace. That this man, that God, looks a lot more like a hippie on a hillside than a Roman emperor. And because of that, and because you believe those things, it puts you at odds with all the people around you. All the ways that they believe are not the way that you believe, and they will poke and prod at you for believing those ways. Believing those ways puts you at odds with the world. In short, believing that has a cost to your life. It's going to cost you something to believe in Jesus. And it might be a personal cost, that all the things that you once thought were true are not. Or they're true in a different sense. So you've got to wrestle with your differing beliefs. And there might be a familial cost. You'll lose the relationship that you have with your family members who don't understand why it is you believe the way you do. Or there's a social cost. You start talking about something that you believe strongly about, your friends don't believe strongly about it, and they start to back off. There is a cost to believing in Jesus. When we embrace this work and will of God, we begin to recognize how the world is broken. All the ways that we try to fix things, that they're just not enough when we embrace the way that God has. And this is what Jesus means when he talks about the fire he wants to bring. This isn't destruction. This isn't like Sodom and Gomorrah, get rid of these people, I'm done with them. This is a refiner's fire, the kind that burns off all the impurities, the slag on the top of the gold. That Jesus is ready for all the ways that we are broken to be gone. All the oppression that he sees, all the injustice that he sees, all the ways that we rely on other people to fix things, Jesus is ready for that to be gone. And for the ways that we oppress one another and dehumanize each other and ignore one another's needs, Jesus is ready for it to get burned up, to be gone, to be done with, to be erased. Because Jesus is not going to claim that there is peace when people are still being oppressed. Jesus is not going to say, well, I'm here now, everything is all better, if people are still not following in that way. It's not until we begin to get rid of those impurities, till they're burned away, that we will finally be at peace. And because we believe that God is in the process of burning those things off in us, we will face our own division, our own selves fighting against ourselves of, no, I need to get rid of this sin and it still hangs on to my leg. We will face all of those same divisions of our friends not understanding, our family saying, oh, she's talking about Jesus again, and a society that just doesn't understand how we can put our hope in God and work for the peace and the justice of those around us. But take comfort, because we are not the first ones to follow God's way of doing things. Because like the disciples before us, we also will face this destruction, this ruining of the perfect life that we had dreamed for ourselves. Like the disciples before us, we will hold on to hope even when it doesn't look hopeful around us. And the writer of Hebrews tells us why. He's already written all about Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and he's written about God working through all of these people, how by faith they were able to conquer kingdoms and stand up against oppression, and how they were able to speak knowing that their lives would be targeted. And the writer even runs out of parchment, and he runs out of time, because he said, it would fail me to tell you of all of the ways that God has brought people through because of their faith. And then he writes, therefore, because we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off the sin that clings so close and run with perseverance the race that's set before us. Because we have all these stories, because that whole Bible is just to show us how God is faithful, because we have all of those stories, we can follow in this race. We can join the hundreds and millions of Christians who have walked the path that loses things on this earth and gains things in heaven, because we have a God who is faithful. And what we give up in this earth, what we give up on this losing path that we walk with Christ, is worth everything that we gain in Christ. Because in Jeremiah and in Hebrews, it says the things that we gain is a God who guides us through impossible odds. Like parting a Red Sea, like making the walls of a towering nation fall just by marching around it and blowing a horn. That we have a God who will give us strength to achieve way more than we could ever expect. That we could win strength out of our weaknesses. That God will help us bring justice to the oppressed, to let the prisoners go free, to live a life with hope in what is coming in the future, not because it's going to be fixed here, but because God is already working on us and working on it through us. And we have hope of receiving resurrection, new life, that's not going to look like the destruction that is here, because the impurities will have been burned off. The cost will be high. I mean, so high that some of us shrink back from speaking aloud our faith, because we don't want that division. We don't want that hard losing road. And so the writer of Hebrews reminds us where to keep our eyes. To keep your eyes on Jesus, the one who's writing the story of your faith, the pioneer of it, the one that's hacking through all of the in all of the underbrush that's hacking through all of the things that need to be burned off from us, to keep our eyes on the one who is pioneering the path and who is making us perfect. That's not up to you to make yourself perfect, but to keep your eyes on the one who is, the author, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was ahead of him endured the cross, ignoring the shame that went with it, and sitting down at the right hand of God. There is our peace. There is our hope. Not in governments or ourselves, it is in Christ who sits at the hand of God. There is our peace. And may the peace of God, which goes past all of our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ our Lord. Amen. If you are